Let us begin. Let us begin. In this moment, let us arrive in this new moment, arriving again and again. Each moment a new arrival. In this body. In this moment in time. Inviting, inviting the gaze of awareness to be turned inward. For the benefit of arriving, to relinquish the thoughts in this moment, plans, memories, and turning the awareness internally with care. With care for ourselves, for this being. For this being who is me, who is showing up in this moment. Offering safety, offering ease, offering care. To this body. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay, dear body. It's okay, dear heart. You can relax. It's okay. It's okay to soften. It's okay to arrive. Home. Home. Inviting every cell of the body. To relax. To land. To give their weight to the earth. Feeling, sensing our feet on the ground, on the earth. Stable, connected, well-rooted. Feeling the connection of the feet, of the lower legs, of your sit bones. To the earth, whether you're sitting on a cushion or a chair, the areas of contact, like a well-rooted tree. Giving their weight of the lower body, releasing onto the earth, here, just as the Buddha touched the earth. The eve of his awakening, touching the earth with our bodies. Here, I'm here. As earth be my witness. I belong here. Noticing the abdomen, receiving, relaxing and receiving, receiving the breath in the abdomen. As if each breath received in the abdomen, in the body, is a little message of care. Just this breath, this in-breath. The entirety of the out-breath. Entirety of the in-breath and the out-breath. The sensations of care felt in the abdomen, wherever else in the body. Maybe too in the chest, the entire trunk. Each message of care, softening, relaxing the chest, the heart center, the proverbial home of our heart, our emotions. The You can relax, dear heart. It's okay. I offer safety. I offer you safety. You are safe. You are safe. It is safe. It's okay. And can we offer safety, care to the neck, to the shoulders, carrying so much weight. They can put the weight down, relax, soften. The arms and the hands. No need to do anything in this moment, but just to be and to receive the sensations. The hands touching themselves or touching your lap, sensations, so many sensations. As we let go and release of the weight, we may realize that, oh yes, so many sensations are available in the hand, as if they are alive, they're vibrating. Vibrating at the contact points, the touch. Softness and hardness. Warmth. Coolness. For many, just calming and settling brings a sense of stability. To feel the hands, to receive the sensations of the hands. As well as the feet. and to complete the journey. Moving up from the body to the neck, to our face. Inviting the muscles of the face to release. The forehead especially. Inviting the wrinkles, if any, to soften. Notice if you are trying too hard to meditate with a furrowed brow. Relax, receive sensations. And the face. Inviting the eyes to relax in their socket. The cheeks. The muscles behind your face. Behind your ears. Behind your chin. To relax, let go. For the jaw. Perhaps even opening the jaw for a moment. Letting it settle and close. Slowly on its own. Receiving as we relax. And perceive so many sensations, vibrations. The face, the head, neck, shoulders, arms, hands, trunk, sit bones, our center of gravity, and the feet. The legs and the feet, the entire body. the body. As the stabilizer, aware, with care, with kindness. Open-heartedness, aware of the sensations of the body, the contact points. Especially the feet, the hands, the sit bones. The bottom contacting the cushion or the chair. Especially if on this first day, you notice there are many thoughts, memories and plans, lots of residues, busy daily life. It's okay. It's okay. The body as our friend, stabilizing. Soothing, comforting, the contact points, even if there is unpleasantness or pain pleasant, that's okay too. Welcoming, opening our hearts, opening all sensations, relaxing into them. Prominent for many may be the sensations of the breath received. I invite you to notice, to receive the sensations. Of the breath in the abdomen, in the lower abdomen, this first day especially, to help stabilize more, arrive. To bring the center of gravity down from the head, where the thoughts, where we associate the thoughts, thinking. Whenever you notice, lost in thoughts, kindly, lovingly, with care, invite the center of gravity to come down, down, down the lower body, to the abdomen, sit bones, legs and feet. Receive the breath. In breath and out breath. or rather let it be received. There is no doing to be done. But just to witness. The Dharma unfolding in this body, this heart and mind. The body as a stable, caring friend. caring for the body, this friend, with stability. with embodied, with the embodiment of stability, the stability of embodiment today. May I hold myself and others with care. Greetings, everyone, whatever time zone you're in. And I just realized I forgot the particular manipulation we're supposed to do so that the bell sounds more sonorous. So sorry if that didn't come through Zoom today and it sounded clunky. I'll try to remember next time. Hi. Hello. So as Gil spoke about beautifully last night, or whatever your time zone was, about the themes of this retreat, as we start with stability, start with this quality of stability and the heart quality of care that runs throughout, care and stability. Our bodies, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the body, kaya gata sati, kaya the body, gata gone to sati, mindfulness gone to the body, kaya gata sati, mindfulness of the body, the Buddha said is our friend, is perhaps our best friend in building stability, the sense of being stable here. So part of the invitations for today, this morning, have been perhaps if you consider, many of you might have seen a pop-up doll. There are these pop-up dolls that they have sand on the bottom, right? There are these pop-up dolls that if they get knocked over because they have sand on the bottom, they stand up again. Right? Because they're bottom heavy. Okay. So mindfulness of the body is, imagine yourself, you're the pop-up doll. If sand is on the bottom, you have your sand. Yes, mindfulness of the body. Yes, coming back to the body. Yes, slowing down, sensing, feeling, here. You're like the pop-up doll when you get knocked over by thoughts, plans, memories, emotions. It's okay, dear. It's okay. With care. Yes. The body tends to upright itself because there is mindfulness of the body. There is sand on the bottom. Imagine if the sand was on the top. It was in your head, the thinking, the center of gravity, as I mentioned in the guided meditation. The center of gravity is in your head. You get knocked over. And it's pretty hard to get up, right? Yes. So I offer this modern simile of the pop-up doll with sand on the bottom as the invitation to remember to come to the body, the friend, your friend, to build stability, the body, and the breath within the framework of the body. The breath not as a standalone, as this thing, but embodied stability, embodied caring stability. That's it. Embodied caring stability is the invitation for today. Embodied caring stability. And keeping that, not just sitting, but moving. And regarding moving, in a moment, Gil will speak more about walking meditation and movement. And before I hand it over, a couple of announcements that I will make. One announcement is that today the practice meetings are starting. Please check to make sure you know what your practice meeting is, because if you miss them, it gets complicated to reschedule them. So please, please, please take note of when, where, whom you're having the practice discussions with. We really want to see you and speak with you. So please, if you would please arrive a few minutes early so that when we open the rooms, all of us can start together. That would be very helpful. It would be supportive to the community. And Ying today will be sitting in the practice meetings that I offer as a part of her training. So we appreciate your support in supporting her and offering your practice in this way. And speaking of support and community, today we'll also start at 6:30 p.m. the BIPOC sit. In the past, many members of the Black, Indigenous, and people of color community have found it supportive to have a sit to sit together. So it's a separate Zoom room for the 6:30 sit. And if you identify as a BIPOC, you're invited to come and sit in that Zoom room if you wish. It's just offering support, all of us supporting each other in these ways. And Ying and I will be, either Ying and I or both of us will be there today. So thank you all. And I pass it to Gil.
So thank you, Nikki. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about walking meditation. And excuse me for a moment while I clear my throat. Thank you, Stan. It seems that I'm supposed to log on with the IRC Zoom account, but apparently it's not stable. Used to in the past always stayed present, and every time I log on fresh this time, it doesn't keep the memory. So I assume that I was logged on with the IMC account, IRC account, but I'm not. So I don't get to unmute myself, and there's no way of telling anyone but waving or something that I can't get in. So if I get muted again, need to be talking. Stan, can you please thank you for your help. So so mindfulness of walking. The idea on a residential retreat, it's more obvious in a residential retreat, is to somehow be in the practice the whole day. And the way that this particular meditation practice that I was trained in was designed was to be mindful from the time you woke up to the time you went to sleep. It's a daunting task for someone who's new to kind of do it that way, but that's like the North Star. That's the direction we're going, to discover how to have a healthy, supportive kind of awareness where we stay present in our experience every living moment. When I saw my teacher in Burma, he would ask me to, I would come to, ready to talk about my meditation practice. And he would ask me how I was mindful when I sat down in the chair, or how was it when you brushed your teeth? And I got the idea that he was holding us accountable to whatever we did throughout the day. So in a IRC, it's easier. You're in an atmosphere that supports that. And you're, when you're with people in the same space, walking and eating in a mindful way, it's easier to kind of feel the continuity of it. It's a little bit harder, I think, to do it on this home retreats. But this is kind of like the opportunity that's here, that it's nice if you could avail yourself of much of this as you can. So walking is something that you probably do on a regular basis in your wherever you're practicing, walking to the bathroom, walking down the hallway, walking to the kitchen, going outside to get some fresh air and going for a walk around the block, whatever you do. It might not be formal walking meditation, but it's a place where you can bring mindfulness to. And one way to consider it is that when you walk, ordinary walking around, you want to walk at a pace that supports you to be mindful. So I like to call that walking walking at the pace, at the speed of mindfulness. And what I mean partly by that is that it's so easy to get pulled into activity, into our thoughts, and start just going into the usual speed in which you do things. And as we do that, it's easy to lose track of the fact that we're lost now in train. We're lost in the train of thoughts. And the idea is to walk at a speed that helps you to notice when you get pulled into the world of your thinking. And you can come back to this embodied, caring mindfulness that Nikki talked about. The speed of mindfulness is a speed where you stay embodied, stay connected to your body, and you can notice when you get lost in thought and get pulled away. And so that for different people, that speed is something different. Some people find that in certain circumstances, it's good to walk fast. Maybe walking around your block, maybe that walking fast is really good for your body, and it's also a way of staying connected. Other people find that walking slower than usual keeps them connected and mindful. And so whatever kind of supports you, you might think about that the in-between time, that's how, you know, that you have that way of kind of building the momentum, the connection to the practice during the retreat. And then during the scheduled time, we also have time for scheduled walking meditation. And walking meditation is just as valuable a form of meditation as sitting meditation. It only works if you do it. If you don't do it, I can guarantee it doesn't work. But if you do it, and for some of us, it was for me, it's an acquired taste. I didn't like doing it when I started it then, but I hung in there and it was really well worth acquiring the taste for it. Now I love it. And I find it a tremendous boost to my meditation, to my life, to my practice. But if you're one of those people who find it difficult and uncomfortable and you don't like it at the beginning, you know, you have good company, that other people like me, maybe, who felt that way. And it just, you have to kind of take your time to learn how to do it. But you only can learn to do it by doing it and finding and then experimenting and finding a way that's enjoyable for you. And so the way we do walking meditation generally is to find a path that you can walk back and forth in. That's the classic way. You know, some people want to wander around the neighborhood and do walking meditation. It's certainly possible to do it that way. But then what happens is that the little part of your mind is navigating the terrain and the traffic and whatever. If you walk back and forth, very quickly, you know the route. And that part of your mind can go quiet. And you know, and you ideally choose a place where there's not a lot of stimulus for you. Don't do it in front of the department store window or something, or you know, just or in front of the TV that's blasting. You know, and just going back and forth. Do some place where there's not a lot of stimulus, so it's easier to kind of be focused on the embodiment of the practice as you do it. And I think 20, 30 paces is a good distance. You know, whatever works for you in the space that you have. And in order to find a way that's enjoyable for you to do the walking meditation, it helps that if you're you're careful with the pace, the speed in which you walk. Maybe a little bit easier to find your own speed practicing alone at home than it is on retreat, where there's sometimes peer pressure to walk really slow. Because that's what other people might be doing. But there's no need for peer pressure. And so find a pace that brings you a sense of ease, that seems kind of pleasant. and I've been angry or really upset by something, and I'll find a pace that seems harmonious or easeful, seems right for my mood, my emotional state. In angry situations, I've walked really fast, and that was what felt good. But just find a pace that seems appropriate for you when you're walking. So, and then it's easier to be embodied if the pace is something that you enjoy, that's nice or harmonious with how you are. My teacher in Burma, he power walked when he did walking meditation. And I could probably have jogged next to him to keep up with him. So that's like one end of this extreme. And the other end of the extreme is to walk so slow that people watch and they cock their head and look at you and say, this person really walking? In the ancient world, when we were kind of primitive around mindfulness, there was competitive walking to see who could walk the slowest. And it was amazing, you know, if you're really committed to winning that race, how slow you can kind of lift your foot. But that doesn't, you know, competitive meditation doesn't work. So find a pace that's nice for you. And then as you find that pace, then begin dropping your attention into your body. At first, more globally, just feel the body, maybe like you're a dancer, feeling your body through space, and just kind of feel the somatic experience of your whole body walking. And then generally, the idea is to settle the attention down into the lower legs and the feet. When your breath meditation is the center of focus in seated meditation, there's something about the rhythm of breathing in and out, the rhythm, the coming and going of it, makes it easier for the attention to settle in and be with it than if the mind was fixed on an unchanging, unmoving object, at least especially in the beginning of meditation. And so the rhythm that we're really using for building mindfulness in walking meditation is the rhythm of the feet and the lower legs lifting and going down, being placed on the ground again, lifting and back on the floor. And the alternation between the right foot and the left foot. If you're walking somewhat fast, then you're mostly maybe aware of the contact of the soles of the feet against the floor. If you're walking slower, you might be aware of the swinging motion and the sensations that come with the swinging motion of the foot that's doing the swinging. If you're walking even slower, you're aware of the sensations of what it's like for the foot to push off the ground, and the tension in your calves as you lift the foot up, then the swinging, and then the sensations of lightness and as the foot lowers and the contact against the floor and the shifting of the weight. How detailed the sensations are to each step is it's up to you. What feels good for you, what feels enjoyable for it. I kind of like myself to use the image of my foot being a sponge, and that it's a sponge, like sponge soaks up water. My foot as a sponge soaks up sensations. And so I kind of imagine that the sensations are just being soaked into the feet and the lower legs. And somehow that kind of idea of receptivity of just kind of happens on its own. The sensations just arise. And I'm there to receive them, to feel them, to even to savor them a little bit sometimes, if that feels like the right thing to do. Whatever helps you to be present. The mind, of course, will wander off in thought, as it will so easily do. And so the idea is to gently, lovingly bring it back. There's no need to be upset with your mind or berate it. One of the best advices I got around thinking and meditation was don't be bothered by it, by your thoughts. But not being bothered by it doesn't mean the same thing as indulge in it. So the idea is, okay, I'm thinking, let me begin again, with the feet. If you're really caught in a storm of thinking, then it's nice to stop in your tracks and really take stock of what's happening with you, and mindfulness of thinking, mindfulness of emotions, to really acknowledge what's happening. And sometimes the full acknowledgement of it is enough that you can start again and stay on track with the walking. One of the advantages of walking back and forth is that in the turnaround is often a good time to catch whether you've now drifted off in thought. And I find that if I'm walking kind of slow, Really nice to come to a full stop at the end of the walkway. Turn around, full stop, and then walk back. And there's something about the full stop in the turnaround that I catch myself, oh, Gil, you just were drifted off in thought for the last, you know, half of the last pass or whatever. And then when I begin from a stopping position, it's like I'm starting fresh with the dedication. Let me see if I can be as mindful as possible until I get across the 20 feet I'm going to walk. Sometimes the intention to be as mindful as you can the whole walking period is just a recipe for being disappointed. But to have small, short goals, just to the end of the pass, if I can just do that, that'll be great. And then I'll do it. Then I'll set the intention again for the other round. And if that's too big of a goal, you can just do two steps. Let me try to get these two steps, be really embodied and present for these two, and then do it again and again. And there are times when my mind has been so crazy that I was just content to do one step at a time. You know, okay, I'll just do this step. I can do this step. Over time, I got settled in. Some of you might find it helpful to use a mental note. It's a way of using a thought to kind of protect you. If you give the mind thinking mind a little something to do, it's less likely to wander off. And the little thing you can do is just say stepping, little encouragement for your mind. It's like, stay right there. If you're going slower, you can do lifting, placing. And the way I was taught in Burma was lifting, moving, placing was kind of like the standard thing to do if you're walking slow enough. But the point isn't necessarily to walk slow. The point is to walk at the speed of mindfulness that's appropriate for you. That helps you to feel connected and present and less likely to wander off in thought. There is a video on your retreat website under resources and handouts of a video I made on walking meditation for the very first, I think it was one of the first online retreats we did, the big ones that we did during the pandemic. So you can read, I say a few other things there. And if you want to get a refresher about walking meditation, you can try it there. And I hope that you find a way to have some enjoyment of it, and that you can even paradoxically enjoy it when you're otherwise miserable, when other things are challenging and difficult. So just kind of the movement, the engagement of the body and can be helpful. It kind of breaks. Sometimes it breaks up the, when you sit still in meditation, sometimes it's easy to get kind of locked into your thoughts and your feelings and everything, but moving sometimes gets things more fluid and going a little bit more. And finally, one more last thing is the continuity of practice is so helpful, as I began saying at the beginning, and how that applies to the when you're doing formal walking period, like during the scheduled walking time, is it's best to kind of give yourself as long of a time as possible to do it during that scheduled time. So don't walk for 5 minutes and decide then you need tea. Come back and walk for 5 minutes and then you go pee and walk for 5 minutes. So, you know, I need to sit down and rest a little bit. Then you walk for 5 minutes and, you know, a snack would be good. You know, the principle that if you keep turning off the stove, the water won't boil applies here as well. So you want to be able to, you know, if you had to those kind of things like tea and pee and whatever you need to do, do it at the beginning and the end so you have the biggest stretch just to give yourself over to it and overcome the restlessness to do something else or the boredom or something that might get in the way. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy yourself with it all. And I am, like Nikki, looking forward to meeting you in the practice discussion. And some of you will be in about 10 minutes. Thank you.